Shalom, saints of God, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my best friend and gifted Bible teacher and wife, Sheila Crawford.
And I as well wish you all a hearty shalom. You know, that peace that passes all understanding that only our Lord can give us. So let's ask him to do that right now.
Okay. Abba, Father, we praise and worship you alone. We ask for your help and guidance in all areas of our life. We pray for President Trump that he makes the right decisions to ultimately fulfill your will. May you show favor to the many prayer requests of your saints, and may tonight's program be pleasing to your ears. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Oh, amen. Well, last week I said I would comment on President Trump's nominee for the Supreme Court, since we didn't know yet who it was, which I suspected and is Neil Gorsuch. But we hoped it would have been a more solid pro-life candidate like Judge Pryor or Chief Justice Kennedy, who are on the record of defending pro-life, where Judge Gorsuch has had no viable proof that he is. In fact, in a particular case brought before him, rather than render a pro-life ruling, he punted it to the Oklahoma Supreme Court for it to decide. Judge Gorsuch's approach is similar to the unjust approach based on viability that underlies Roe versus Wade. So one has to wonder if he would vote to actually overturn it.
Yeah, you know, however, just maybe he privately told President Trump that he would.
Well, that's what I'm hoping. And I guess we'll see, because the liberal Democrats, I would think, would approve him rather than take a chance of another pick being heavily pro-life.
Yeah, I think they got something going, you know, to make it look good to the liberals. And
we'll see.
It's so sad we even have to make an issue between life and death.
I know, really? Oh, my. And let me add another important fact. Judd Gorsuch still belongs to the Episcopalian Church even after they publicly declared its unequivocal opposition to pro-life laws. He also supports the LGBT agenda, as does our president, and as you know, has had his executive order barring immigration temporarily from seven countries put on hold by a Seattle judge who I am sure knew that the liberal Ninth Circuit Court out of San Francisco would vote along with him. But oral arguments are actually going on right now between the White House and this Ninth Circuit liberal panel of three judges.
Yeah, this just might go to the Supreme Court.
Well, which is why the Democrats will prolong Judge Gorsuch's confirmation, because without Gorsuch voting would be that, as usual, 4-4 ruling, which means it would then go right back to the lower Ninth Circuit Court, and the liberal Democrats would win.
And the president loses his ban.
And something unfortunate that you should be made aware of is that a top-ranked trilateral commission member, mm-hmm, Kenneth Juster, has now been appointed to serve as, as deputy assistant to the president for international economic affairs, and will also sit on the National Security Council. In his position, Juster will continue the Trilateral Commission's 44-year high influence over economic affairs, whose stated intent is to create a new international economic order.
In other words, a globalist think tank.
Yes, and Juster's elitist resume indicates that he is a key trilateral operative within globalist circles. And for your information, Obama had at least 11 Jesuit-trained trilateralists in his administration. And to my knowledge, Joester is the first trilateral appointment so far in the Trump administration. So, globalization, sustainable development, Agenda 21 does retain a firm foothold in America. And you know what? It always will.
Remember, as a candidate, Trump did meet with the top trilateralist and Bilderberger,
yes,
Henry Kissinger, last year.
He did. He did. I mean, and I remember we remarked about that.
Yes, we did. Well, you know, take it back to Bush. He was the head of the trilateral. Okay.
The senior.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. What's new with Israel?
Okay. Well, the many families living in Amona, which is an outpost in Israel's West Bank, has now been completely evacuated. Some very heartbreaking pictures can be seen online. But the Palestinians insisted that they were over the Green Line, which is the old borders before they won the territory back in 1967. The Palestinian leaders insist any residing Jews living over the Green Line will have to go back to behind the borders if they ever want peace.
Okay, so what's Bibi doing about that?
Well, Prime Minister Netanyahu is planning to set up more new settlements, but in less disputed territories, which will help those evacuees. But President Trump is doing a 180 and now says, oh, if you do that, it will hurt the peace process, just like Obama said. So, I don't know. Bibi will probably continue.
But he is coming to Washington next Wednesday, I think.
He is. So I guess we'll see what comes from that meeting. And Bibi just returned from London, by the way, who he met with the Prime Minister, Theresa May, who, by the way, had just returned from meeting with President Trump last week. So who knows what really is being discussed, but probably things like Iran, Israel's new settlements, and the two-state solution, which Prime Minister May is in high favor of doing, and the sooner the better. And you know what? Actually, the whole thing is a bittersweet situation, if you think about it. Because we know the tribulation begins with the confirmation of some sort of a peace agreement. But just prior to that, we are out of here to be with Jesus forever.
Amen to that. Right. We are going to be,
that's
we
right.
are going to a wedding.
Yes, our wedding. We're going to talk a little more about that in a few minutes. But first, I think you should let our listeners know how they can contact us.
Absolutely. Yes, you can comment on this program, request prayer, or send your end time questions by either email to Sheila at shofarministries.net, or you can call the office, leaving a detailed message to 440-834-9006, and we will call you back. Also, by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. And to help us stay on the air, your love offerings are needed and greatly appreciated, which automatically puts you on our mailing list for any updates and biblical teachings. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where all the past radio and instructional newsletters are archived for your added learning. A vast amount of knowledge at your fingertips.
Yes, knowledge like Hebraic roots. Mm-hmm. You know our Judeo-Christian heritage, what our first century spiritual ancestors knew and taught. And honestly, without some basic knowledge of your roots, you will always have some missing parts to eschatology.
It connects the dots, so to speak.
That's right. It really does. And since we, according to Scripture,
Romans 11,
that's right, have been grafted into the root of the olive tree, a symbol for the Jewish people, shouldn't we at least have a fundamental understanding of our heritage?
That would be a definite yes.
Okay. Well, we are going to share some of that with you tonight, because just the other day, I was listening to another end times teacher on Christian TV who said that although he wasn't sure, there could be a long interlude between the rapture and the actual beginning of the seven-year tribulation, which, according to Daniel 9, begins when an agreement is confirmed by the Roman Antichrist and Israel, and that many will be involved. And that is easily seen today as the international community.
Okay, that signing starts the clock ticking.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And that's to finish Daniel's 490-year prophecy that, after 483 years of it, was put on hold from Jesus' death so that the Gentiles, the bride of Christ, could be grafted in.
But we are almost complete.
Right. That fullness of the Gentiles that we explained 2 weeks ago is quickly closing.
So the last 7 years to Daniel's prophecy is about to begin.
It is.
Not quick enough, I can add.
Okay, but back to the rapture and the interlude till the signing of the so-called peace agreement, which I believe is very short because seven is a complete number, and I'll explain that more in a minute. There are hundreds of examples of sevens in Scripture that we have talked about many times. But let me remind you that all the Jewish customs and regulations were given to them by God. So we, as the Bride of Christ, could learn them so to see how it will be with us. In fact, there's a scripture in Romans 15:4. Do you have that, dear?
For whatever things were written before were written for our learning. That we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope.
That's right. He wants us to understand. He doesn't want us to be ignorant, but rather search for the gold nuggets to better your understanding. Okay, back to the number seven. Since it is a complete number, it was imperative that all Jewish brides had a honeymoon that lasted for a period of seven. Now, of course, normally 7 days, but it could be longer, like 7 weeks if they were very rich, but it had to be seven, that complete number.
Not eight or even 3.5.
That's right. Mm-hmm. So when we get called up, we get married, and our honeymoon begins, in our case, for 7 years. So that is how we know that the tribulation begins within just a few days after we leave. That's also why we will see that day coming as we watch for the so-called peace treaty coming together. And what does Scripture tell us in Hebrews 10:25?
Exhort one another, and so much the more as you see the day coming.
That's right. It says we will see it coming. That Scripture really excites me, and it should you as well. There are many other signs, of course, but that's a major one.
Isn't there that story in Genesis that gives a great example of the week-long honeymoon?
Yes. It's Genesis 29, and it's the story of Jacob and Rachel, who he loved very much and wanted to marry. But her father, Laban, said Jacob would have to work for him first for 7 years.
There's that seven again.
Then Jacob could marry Rachel. But after the 7 years, Laban did a deceitful thing to Jacob. Let me explain. First of all, it was the custom that brides-to-be would wear a veil signifying they were spoken for, so no other man would look upon her and want her for himself. And they would wear the veil until the marriage was consummated. But Laban actually switched Rachel for her older sister, Leah. And by the next morning, in the daylight now, Jacob was not happy and went storming out of the Hadar, which is the bridal chamber, to Laban. And I think we should pick it up there in verse 25 of Genesis 29.
Okay, so it came to pass in the morning that, behold, it was Leah.
Mm-hmm.
And he said to Laban, "What is this you have done to me? Was it not for Rachel that I served you? Why then have you deceived me?" And Laban said, It must not be done so in our country to give the younger before the firstborn. Fulfill her week,
which is the honeymoon week of 7 days,
and we will give you this one also for the service which you will serve with me still another 7 years. Then Jacob did so and fulfilled her week. So he gave him his daughter Rachel as wife also. And Laban gave his maid Bilhah to his daughter Rachel as a maid. Then Jacob also went into Rachel, and he also loved Rachel more than Leah, and he served with Laban still another 7 years.
That's right. So, there you have it. Jacob had to fulfill the honeymoon of 7 days, a period of seven, or it was not considered to be a legal union. God himself set up that requirement so we could learn and understand how it will be with us. So that answers the question of how soon the tribulation begins after the rapture. It's just a few days. So therefore, it's more than likely that the agreement will be signed on a Yom Kippur. So the tribulation will also end with his return to earth on a Yom Kippur. And of course, this is on the Jewish lunar calendar, which is would be exactly 7 years later. Yom Kippur is also called the Day of Atonement and the closing of the gates. If you are not saved by then to be a tribulation saint, it will be too late. Thus, Jesus literally fulfills Yom Kippur, and then 5 days later, Jesus ushers in the millennial kingdom in total fulfillment of all his appointments made thousands of years earlier. So, since spring is just around the corner, soon we'll be talking again in more detail about the seven feasts or appointments that God made with all the righteous. And again, he has already kept four of the seven appointments surrounding his first coming as our Passover lamb and then sending the Holy Spirit on Pentecost. And I know that I know that I know he will keep the last three of his appointments. That begins with him calling us up with the sound of the shofar and then 7 years later returning with his saints. That's us. And then we'll be called his wife, as says Revelation 19:7, and we'll be coming back to earth as king and queen. You know, it's really a no-brainer when you see it for yourself, which is probably why the feasts were not totally revealed to the bride until the generation that would be alive at the time of the rapture. So to truly understand its significance, because the feasts are extremely significant. And that's probably an understatement. Okay. So, the last three appointments are in the fall harvest season. You can read James, and he confirms that. He even says it'll be at the time of the big harvest. That's when all the fruits and all the vegetables come in, and the grapes and the figs and everything. So, he uses that as a symbol of when Christ is going to return. So, the next one, and these are all in order, is called the Feast of Trumpets, or Rosh Hashanah. Now, this festival lasts for 2 days. It's on the calendar of Jewish calendar, Tishri 1 and 2. This feast is a memorial of the creation of the world, and particularly man, which was created on the sixth day, which is when time began. Now, at the end of 6,000 years, he will call us up. And only God knows what year that really is due to inaccurate calendars. But I believe God allowed that on purpose so that we wouldn't know for sure and to be always expecting every year. And I must admit, I really do. Okay, so Yom Kippur, Day of Atonement, is 10 days after the first day of Rosh Hashanah, or on Tishri 10. And then the Feast of Tabernacles is 5 days after that. And that lasts for 8 days, which you know is the number for Jesus, meaning never ending or eternity. And we will be with him forever. That's eternity. That's a really long time. So hang tight and don't let our enemy discourage you with the cares of this life, which lately seems to be more and more, doesn't it? We all have things that we have to go through, but we have Jesus. He makes our burdens light. He will carry you through. So rise above all that. Show God that you trust Him with all your heart and stop leaning on your own understanding and focus on what is about to happen. Happier days are coming. Happier beyond all measure that I can even think to say. Words cannot express. So in summary, many who study our roots have concluded that Jesus will call us up on His next appointment to physically fulfill the Feast of Trumpets, which, as I said, lasts for 2 days. So we can't know which day or hour. Actually, that phrase is really an idiom for the Feast of Trumpets, because Israel wanted to be sure they really saw the new moon, and they would make that comment a lot. Well, we don't know which day or hour the new moon will really be here. So it was pretty common. And by the way, Rosh Hashanah or Feast of Trumpets is the only feast that begins on a new moon, which is symbolic for new beginnings. And it will certainly be a new beginning for us when it happens. There's no denying that. Wow. New bodies and everything. Another phrase for the new moon is it's being born again, like us, which Jesus used in John chapter 3. For, like the new moon, we too are born again. Spiritually, a brand new beginning, weren't we? You know that Jesus is the light of the world, sort of like the sun is the brightest light in the sky. So the moon only gets its light from the reflection of the sun. So as it turns more to the sun during its rotation, it becomes fuller. And that's like us. For the more we turn toward Jesus, the light, through His word, we too become brighter and more full from His reflection in us. It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing to see the types and the pictures God has given us. What a great God we have. And I can hardly wait to see Him. How about you? Are you born again? Are you saved by the blood? Are you kind of like doing a balancing act and not sure whether you really want to do it because you think maybe it'll be too hard? Oh, I can't be that good. Well, let me just tell you, if you're waiting to do that, it'll never happen because you'll never be able to be good enough. But don't you know He takes us as we are? And then He does a work in you. So don't worry about all that garbage. Just give your heart to Him and start reading His word. So again, if you're out there and you've never made the biblical Jesus, the real Jesus, Lord over your life, know this. Christ suffered greatly and died on the cross for you. He paid your debt for your sins. Someone has to pay for Him. He did it. He stands at the door of your heart and is knocking. Just open the door. He will come in and sup with you. Take up residence within you. I know you hear Him. He's knocking right now. But He won't crash in. It's your move. He gives you free choice. So just do it. And the Aaronic blessing comes from Numbers 6, 22 through 27. It says, the Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make His face shine upon you and will be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next time, Sha'alu Shalom, Yerushalayim. Pray for our new president and pray for the peace of Jerusalem, because those who love her, want to make her our home, you're going to prosper in all ways. Till next time.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.